Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello, once again, this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and it's another week of American Tennis. Every Wednesday on the UR Tennis Network, that's the letter U, the letter R, the number 10, and the letter S, network.com, you can go to that website and you can get five shows on the UR Tennis Network. Jason Haynes, 2 hours from right now, has his College Connection program. Every Tuesday, folks, Lisa Stone has her Parenting Aces program, and she continues to get record numbers listening to her show and going to her Parenting Aces website. John Denise runs a fantastic Florida high school program, and he also is doing quite well. And then there's Steve Clark, West Coast Tennis, that comes to you every week as well. Folks, I also always give a plug to J.P. Weber and the We Coach Tennis program that comes to you every Tuesday. Look at his website for, what a great website he's got on the Facebook. I think he's got over 3,000 people now that coaches that send things in, and just a great website to give you 2 cents worth. That's J.P. Weber on We Coach Tennis. So I'm Coach Chuck Creasy. My website is chuckcreasy.net. That's K-R-I-E-S-E.net. This is the start of the fourth year on the American Tennis program, and our mission is always, and we remind you, stand up, speak out, say those things that need to be said, address issues, not people, and you can pretty much say anything you want to. And folks, this is a duty of all of us to try to right the ship. We need to stop going to centralized governments. Where did I get that now? Have I been listening to a lot of political talk shows here lately or what? But centralized government and socialistic tactics will not do the job. Last week's program, I feel like it was a great one. Go to the program last week, either go to my website, chuckcreasy.net, or urtennisnetwork.com, and listen to Tennis Freedom or Tennis Tyranny. We talked a lot about the centralized governments being relied on too much, and I think we don't stand up, speak out, because we rely on our institutions to do it for us. Now, all of us need to engage. It's not up to, listen, we have great people in the USTA. We have some very wonderful people in the ITA. We have great people in all of our organizations. But once an organization becomes bureaucratic and it becomes too big, it becomes dysfunctional, mainly because they don't have enough hands-on ways of doing things. And then the bottom-up feeding of the organization or the ideas for the organization are defunct. And that's pretty much what. And then we have a disconnect, and things start to break down. They really don't serve the purpose they need to. So all of us need to engage. It's just not about centralized, top-down government here. It's bottom-up. All of us need to engage. However, yeah, we need to support our organization. Yeah, we need to support the people who go to those jobs every day, our senators, our congressmen, our presidents of even the USTA and the ITA. But when things are wrong, we need to stand up, speak out. And we've got a fantastic coach on. Once again, I'm glad we've got him back on. He's been so busy with junior tennis and so busy with coaching young up-and-coming pros that, you know, we haven't had a chance to have him on recently. But I'd like to say hi to Coach Randy Blumendahl. Good morning, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule, Coach.
Thanks, Coach, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back on the show and talk tennis again, and you know, I'm just excited really with you know, that we just keep trying to talk about things that are going to make our sport great and go forward and really see it the way we have envisioned it all along, and you know, there's some greatness that comes out of it. And I think that we all have that are in this have a passion to really, really make it go to the next level, and it's fun to really be a part of that. And I think you hit the head on the nail. I think we all would love for people to just that are in those positions just to come up with all the answers, but they need to hear from the people that are in the trenches that are doing the stuff that can see the little things that aren't quite working out, and they need to hear what's going to get, you know, our country, you know, back on top in the sport. I know we're doing well still on the women's side, but the next generation and the next generation of it. And then, you know, and I think we've had some glimmers of doing well even, you know, with the boys, but not the expectations that we really want to get to. So, you know, I'm excited to talk about this once again, and it's been fun being a part of the junior side and really kind of, you know, developing kids that are younger and getting them to think the right way and do the right things that's going to carry them forward and really help sustain success. You know, for not just in tennis, it really throughout their life. So yeah, I think that's what we all try to do as coaches.
Well, you know, our program today, Coach, is called Let's Make American Tennis Great Again. How do you like that one?
Love it.
We're pretty much, that's what, but it doesn't say some of us do it. It doesn't say, hey, USTA, do this. It's all of us. Let's make American tennis great again. All of us. It's a team effort, but we need leadership and we need the way to go. Now, a couple things that you've brought out before, but our sport, you know, our sport has survived 132 years. Let me see if that's right. Yeah, 132 years without being meddled with too much, hasn't it? It's survived on its own. All of a sudden, we, with all of the sophisticated organizations we have and all the money and everything we're throwing at it, sort of like our education system. I mean, kids got a lot of school learning without going to school or in the old days, and people got good antennas, and we really did well without all the structure for a lot of years, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I've heard reasons why people think that is, but, you know, regardless of, you know, what the rest of the world's doing or other countries or how organized they've been, you know, it seems like we have lost ground over the last 30 years. And I think there's a number of factors that play into that. The juniors, you know, and the college tennis, and then, you know, probably the entry level of the pros. So, you know, there's reasons why that's going on. I think I'm grounded, and you're the same. And, you know, you brought up the history of the thing that the game is great, regardless of, you know, who's playing it, you know, where it's at on TV. I mean, it's just an unbelievable game. I think it's one of the ultimate warrior games out there. And anytime we try to manipulate that, I think we're doing a disservice to really the root of what makes us great. I don't think it's you know, the entertainment value and all. We talk about all these things that are changing, but I think the game itself, if you leave it alone, it's something special. And then what we've done, you know, what we've done to really grow the game is really what we need to talk about, and how we're growing it, and, you know, what our expectations are there. And if we really want to get back on top of the, you know, the top players in the world and start dominating tennis again, or, you know, really what the goals are here. And I think we would love to see tennis be great in our country again. And I know all along I keep hearing, you know, a lot of people would like to see us, you know, go after the best athletes in our country. But to do that, we need to have a game that it would be compelling to
the best
athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That attracts the best athletes. And we have many things that are fixable, some things that are not fixable. But we wanted to start out by saying, you know what, folks, it's always about the balance, isn't it, of centralized government and the populace and the amount of the people involved. And if you have too much centralized government, the people get lazy. And actually, we all become pigeons when the government does everything for us. And if we don't get any help at all, we also often lose our way. So great leadership find a balance between those two. And I think we run into problems when people who have power use coercive power to force feed things that really are just self-promoting or theories or something. Coercive leadership never will work. Persuasive leadership is okay, but leadership by example is the one we want to follow. But let's start out, Coach. I got to do a commercial here in a minute, but I want a short segment here on the things that are not fixable, you know, that we just really need to get rid of, you know, and if we're to move forward. And I've led into saying that the game survived for 132 years on its own with, I'm calling it heritage scoring, the same scoring system, with just tournaments of different kinds and different types. And really, without screwing around with it a lot, it survived. So I've got, my list of non-fixables, things that we need to throw out and go back and just make sure we honor the game. What would a couple of things be that are your non-fixables that we need to get rid of?
We need to get rid of?
That we need to get rid of. Go ahead.
Something that's near to me and something I really believe in, and I think we consistently try to chip away at this, and I think there's an argument whether this is really going on or not. I think we need to get rid of the manipulation where we consistently are not trying to stretch players, or we're lowering the bar in either our training or our competition. That's something that I don't understand on any level. It hasn't served us well in the U.S. It hasn't produced champions, but we still search that out because participation seems to be more valuable than, you know, for whatever reason, the participation model seems to be more valuable than individual greatness. So stretching kids, making them great, I mean, that even is going to develop another level of coaching. So if we have a generation that doesn't understand how to stretch players, we're going to be another 20, 30 years away. So stretching players in training and competition and understanding the value of that has got to happen. And throwing away, we've got to throw away the manipulation of protecting our players from either consequences of feeling bad or, you know, whatever the hot topic is of that day that doesn't help the cream rise to the top. I mean, that's one that really I've thought about a lot, especially around juniors. And, you know, and then it's just a whole mindset that gets created, and then the parents buy into it, and then it just dumps everything down to the point where nobody really understands what the bar is, and they start making excuses on why we're not creating champions at the top level. So,
well,
yeah,
you know,
that was near and dear to me. That's probably on top of my list.
Yeah, and so many ways we hit something there that we're going to talk about even more in depth. But I think that our governing organizations, whether it's high school tennis, USTA, our committees in the USTA, or even in college tennis, we have gotten too mixed up with what the difference between participation goals and performance goals should be. And we have not unleashed the creative genius in our youngsters. But I'd like for everybody, look at this. There's a 30-second video. Go to Dr. Abraham Twersky, Twersky, on responding to stress. Rabbi, he's a rabbi, doctor. It's 30 seconds. No, it's actually a minute 31. It's on YouTube. Go there, and he talks about how critical stress is for growth. That's Twersky, Twersky, Dr. Abraham Twersky, on stress. But you're exactly right. We are breeding mediocrity with that mentality. And you do not coax greatness out of people. You basically, I hate to say drive it out of them, but you really have to get to the depth, speak to the depth of people's heart and their emotions, and before greatness can come out. I mean, the greatest passions in the world only came out through stress. They were not eased out, and they will not ease out. Any other quick things? But the dumping,
yes.
Dumping the participation mentality. And look, there's a place for participation. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. But you're exactly right. Anything else, real quick, Coach? That we need that's not fixable.
Yeah. It's not. It will not be fixable if we don't dump the model of it taking so much money to develop a player and so much resource to develop a player. There's got to be ways of doing it where we can attract players that don't have the resource and still can come through in our model where they can rise up and get to the level that they're capable of getting to. In our current model, I mean, it just takes, and I've heard this being addressed, but it hasn't been addressed. It still takes a tremendous amount. And then the second part of that is it takes that much, and then there's no real residual value once a player is built to where there's a cluster effect. The knowledge is not, or it's not getting back to their peers. It's taking a lot of resource for one player.
Right. In other words, the best player in the community, he's beating the pants off of everybody, or she is, and then there's no college scholarships out there. And basically, it's not about promotion. It's just about something that others don't aspire to. I mean, people who aspire to be great in chess really have better discernment of what greatness is than what's going on with our kids. We do too much there. Coach, the non-fixables, think of these, though. I'm going to go through these quickly because I do need to go to commercial. But we got to dump, in order to do what you're saying, we got to dump tiebreakers for the third set. We could talk forever on that. We've got to dump the point system way of ranking the players. Kids do not play for points. They play for rivalries, tournaments of heritage, and something that they've fallen in love with. And basically, kids will never win except to the level that they cannot stand losing down to. So we've got to allow our kids to be involved in great rivalries and going after tournaments of heritage. And we've got to dump the NOAD. And how in the world they come? It's so ridiculous what's going on with this NOAD scoring. Jimmy Van Allen, was he I need to look up his background. And God bless him, he's been gone for several years now. But was he a tennis maestro or a great philosopher of tennis to the place where, or did he just, some old guy that just came up with this idea of NOAD scoring and say, hey, this sounds like it makes sense, but the bottom line, it's just killing us. But all of these feed into the manipulation that lower the bar that you're speaking to. Any other quick things that are not fixable that we sort of need to get rid of?
Yes, absolutely. The value of stretching players to where they grow and become better, instead of protecting them to where they don't feel bad today, but tomorrow they become the second best of what they could have become. I mean, those are the things that stick in my head. And when you're talking about the scoring, that's part of the thing there that sticks out is that's not happening. I mean, when young kids are playing, they're just dumbing it, and maybe the kids feel better for a second, but they're not able to achieve their greatness. And some of that comes from the fact that they do break down and they do hit a point of, hey, this is really tough, and then they figure it out. And if you don't allow that process to happen, you're not going to create champions consistently.
Right. The little video, I'll just throw that out. The little video is about, the guy talks about how lobsters grow. He says the shell doesn't grow. They grow to the extremities of their shell. They're all soft tissue. And then when it becomes too uncomfortable and painful, they go hide in rocks and they discard their old shell and they have to grow a new one. But it's all done through pain and adversity. And then so many times that's how they grow. And the bottom line on the thing is we don't allow our children the pain that it takes to grow. And when we don't allow pain, there is no gain. And I haven't heard that for years, no gain without pain. But pain engages the brain. people don't even like to talk about the pain, anymore. But listen, we're going to talk about this and a lot more things. We will be right back. This is Coach Chuck Creasy and Coach Randy Blumendahl on American Tennis.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org. or StopSportsInjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
Coach Chuck Creasy and Coach Blumendahl. You know, I just had to have to play that sports injuries thing on the UR Tennis Network. They have me play that each week, and I started thinking, you know, that there we are. Stop. Sports injuries. Overuse. I mean, how many times do we hear now, overuse? My golly, the kids played the training too hard. Overtraining. Oh, my golly, they play two matches a day. They got to play 10-point tiebreakers. Are you kidding me? I mean, we are created a society of weaklings. I mean, come on, in tennis, my daughter swims 40 laps every morning before 7 o'clock as a 12-year-old swimmer. Swimmers are awesome. You know, they're going after a certain time on the clock. And it's not dumbed down by, you can't lower the bar on a clock. Same thing with running, but gee whiz, have we dumbed this thing down. Any quick thoughts? And then I'm going to give you a sort of a blackboard to put up the Coach Blumendahl program for USA Tennis, okay?
I think what we're talking about is right on. I mean, I think what I keep thinking of is, you know, then I go into college tennis, which is, you know, near and dear to my heart, and spent a lot of years in the college game. And one thing that I realized when I started coaching the juniors, and I was, you know, the time frames didn't, in fact, I was able to be around them as much as I needed to be. Train as hard as we needed it, but the coaching from the inside out is, you know, in today's time when we're doing things, you know, and lack of a better term, I'm thinking business model, but we are missing that even in college tennis, where we got to, coach, you probably have to fill out 10 forms if you talk to your kid at lunchtime. I mean, it's you know, it's just gotten to the point, it's absolutely ridiculous what you have to do to coach somebody and to help these young men and women out to become great. And that's another form of us, you know, because not being able to really get in there and deep down stretch people to become great. And to do that, there has to be a level of care. And to build that level of care and trust with these people, we have to get beyond this legalistic, you know, way of doing things, you know, where it just seems so mechanical and systematic, and, you know, it has very little to do with success, and very little to do with building champions. So
yeah,
you know, it's not
the doctors. Think about coach doctors and teachers years ago. You know, doctors used to make house calls. I can remember when I was a child, a doctor came to the house. He was a personal friend of the family and everything, and it was the closest relationship ever. Now it's sort of like you go in, it's like drive-through medicine, drive-by medicine, especially now with this silly Obamacare thing that they've got. They've made it just so impersonal. But think about teaching, too. In teaching, they don't want you to get too close to parent to kids. But cliches, facts, opinion, feelings, needs. I always have addressed on this show that surface window dressing of cliches and facts are not enough. You go to opinions, now you're deeper. Feelings and needs, you must go toward feelings and needs if you're ever going to coach greatness out of a person. You don't coach it into person. You're just coaching it great and out of a person. You know, so you're exactly right. You know, so, Coach, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, and I've got a couple other callers already here wanting to add some comments, but let's talk about the things that are fixable. I'm going to give you a blank blackboard here and talk about what junior tennis should look like in the perfect world. And then I want to ask you what college tennis should look like, and then maybe post-college pro development stages. But what should junior tennis look like? You've been into junior ranks now. You see what's – by the way, congratulations on your national champions that you have you had last summer and all of the great results you're getting with so many youngsters. But, you know, can you go ahead and talk about what junior tennis should look like?
Yeah, thank you for that. Junior tennis, you know, ideally what it would look like would be we would build events and the players would want to get to that level, and then once they're there, they want to achieve greatness by winning those great events. And I think we build those great events locally, then you build them regionally and then nationally, but that has to, you know, there has to be a system where that's allowed to happen.
Wait a minute,
you know,
coach, stop. For years we've had local, regional, statewide, and national events. Sounds to
right.
me like the way it used to be before maybe we started getting too smart for our own britches. With too many computers.
That's right. And some of those great tournaments, I mean, if you look at the past champions, they had the who's who, and you know, they're, you know, the, it was just you basically read who was going to be, you know, the next level players, ATP, WTA players. You read the pros by looking at first and second rounds of those tournaments. And Kalamazoo has in some level has carried that through, even with the changes that we've had over the years. They've been able to sustain that. And anybody that's been to Kalamazoo understands exactly what I'm talking about. But that is – I mean, I think any player in the country would rather win Kalamazoo than be number one in the country. So, you know, there has to be these built-in pathways, and that's what – is really going to give kids the rite of passage to move through. Now, you know, there's some other tools out there right now that are good, but I don't think the point system is one of them. But if we could come together and build some great stuff that really is good, you know, you're going to have to stretch kids to do that. I mean, they used to play the final every year in Kalamazoo 3 out of 5, but I mean, 3 out of 5 championships sectionally would be unbelievable. I mean, I think if you could bring in 16 kids and play 3 out of 5 sets and, you know, and really build an event around it, I think that would be something that would be unreal, and kids would love to play it, and you would really start to see growth in those players that are in that tournament. But, you know, that's one of the ways that it could happen. You know, I think there's a base there that where we've raised the level of the lower kids. There's a lot of those kids now, but we really don't have those top kids taken off. And I think if we build events, that would.
Called tennis socialism, Coach. I mean, you basically bring everybody to the between the 25th and 75th percentile, and you always lasso and bring back the front runners and make them go back and jump through another hoop there.
Yep.
You know, so you're talking about tournaments of heritage. You know, Coach J.P. Weber last week when he came on our program, we talked about you know, some simple things to you know, that we could do to sort of change the tennis, I call it a tennis tyranny, but the tennis tyranny back to tennis freedom. And he brought up, well, you got to talk about it, but you, and then you could start an organization like MDTA or the Little Mo or something. But really, the best way to do it, and you've hit upon this, is to maybe run opposing events. Like, hey, folks, yeah, why don't you try to run some junior money tournaments? Kids can make now up to $10,000 before they're, you know, they're not ineligible for college tennis till after $10,000. Coach, they did this yeah, because all the pros, you know, and I mean, we ought to be using that for us instead of playing for trophies. Let's play for money. The kids will get fired yeah, up about that. They'd make it 3 out of 5 sets. So you can call it 3 out of 5 real. You could call it, hey, real, what was I calling it? Real tennis matters, you know, events. Real tennis matters. Championship tennis again for juniors. You know, and things, but yeah, we need to create those. What should the, and I've got a caller here, I'll bring you on in a minute, second here, caller, if you can hang on. But let's talk about the entry level all the way through 18s. What are your thoughts about the way it should look? I've got a son who's 10, I've got a daughter that's 8, they want to get play a little tennis. What should it look like for them as they go through 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, up until high school before they go to college? What should that look like?
Well, that pathway, the pathway's got to be simplified so people understand it, you know, and you know, it should be, you know, fairly simple. You know, there's going to be these events that you're going after, and maybe that's the top level, the gold level. Underneath that, sectionally, you know, maybe they compete at a silver level and then bronze level before that.
Well,
locally.
I like it.
And
I like it. So you're, let me repeat that. So you're saying local yep, and smaller events, maybe even high school events, call those bronze level events.
Yep.
And then you call have silver level events, which would be statewide, and then gold level events would be national. Now, yep, so you're talking a little bit about ratings here. Not necessarily rankings. You're talking about ratings.
That's right.
So one of the things I hate is these L1, L2, L3s. Last week there was a young lady getting ready to play a tournament, and I asked her, Coach, well, where is she playing? I'd sort of like to go see her, and she's a neighbor, and I'd like to see her play. Well, it's only an L2 statewide. It's not really a good tournament. I said, what? You don't need to give me a disclaimer there. So we would clean
yeah,
that up, you're saying, with the, say, bronze levels, silver levels, gold levels.
That's right. That's right. And then the next thing that the juniors need to do is they have to compete more against men or women. So that there needs to be a circuit developed with the entry-level men and women, and that needs to be mixed with juniors. And I think that would make a huge difference. And it could be older players as well. It didn't have to be just entry players, but mainly entry players that are trying to break into the pros. So, you know, and I've heard some great ideas. Steve Bellamy's got a really good idea on this. But if they're, you know, it's got to be woven together a little smoother than it currently is. I mean, right now there's not, you know, there's not really an avenue for the players to jump in and play pro players. I mean, they can go play qualifiers.
Right now it's a cluster mess.
Yeah.
It's a cluster mess, may I say, by overcomplicating what should be simple because we got too
yeah,
smart with some computers. I'm going to bring on, I think I got Coach Weber on the line here. Is this Coach Weber? Are you on the line?
It is.
Okay, jump in there and say what thoughts Coach Blumendahl here has. You know, he's talking about simplification of the pathway for our juniors. You run hundreds of junior tournaments out of your place over the past couple years. Could you throw in there what your thoughts are for a pathway? And you also have a youngster that's coming up of your own. But any quick thoughts there, how we could simplify the junior?
Well, I think what's real important was what he mentioned maybe a few minutes ago when he said that there were certain, I don't know how he phrased it, I can't remember exactly, but he talked about certain tournaments that were real important. In other words, Kalamazoo.
Tournaments of heritage.
My son right now goes up to Michigan in the summer to Lake Pawpaw, and he's got it in his mind that when he gets to be 18, he's going to kayak from Lake Pawpaw up to Kalamazoo and win Kalamazoo, and he's only 9. So in his mind, he's already thinking about Kalamazoo. I can tell you that was much more of a clear path, and there could have been anywhere from 5 to 10 tournaments that kids knew about and dreamed about and wanted to win at one time. That's all gone now. It's all a hodgepodge.
What happened so people are listening? No, I mean, we used to have things like the Crackerland, the Pepsi 16 here in the South, the Copper Bowl, we used to have the tournament. National Indoors in Dallas was a huge event for recruiting, I know that.
It's been too much change for the sake of change. And yes, it's been overcomplicated. They could take and make it a lot simpler, but they're getting hit on all sides. They're getting hit on all sides, and there's a legal side. I can tell you that it must have been 10, 15 years ago I was coaching here in the South, and I remember a kid had to go out because of a back injury, and then another kid from Kentucky had to go out because of a back injury. And they lost footing and ground. They were about 16 or 17, and they lost footing and ground to be able to get into certain tournaments and things of this nature. Well, they got attorneys, and they sued USTA because the kids were and so what happens is now, you know, they've got to guard themselves in every way possible, so there's this and this, and it is exactly as you say, much more complicated than it used to be. If you talk to them, though, if you talk to a Bill Ozaki or somebody like that, he's going to tell you it's a whole lot better now because he can show you in an accountable way how things have been taken care of.
Here, JP, I think there's two things right now that drive the way we do things, and the USTA is the one that is our governing body most of the time. But regardless of USTA, two things that seem to be driving tennis, participation and fear. Now, all I'm asking is we start looking at it from a standpoint of how to get the cream to rise to the top, not how do we get participation, because Coach has got a great saying on that. I think he's exactly right. And the fear part, it's the whole shoe bomber thing. I mean, yeah, there's going to be incidents. There's going to be problems here and there. But that, I mean, if we're going to come up with systems based on those two things, we're going to get what we got. And I don't think we're going to build champions.
We're going to be driving 50. Guys, we're going to be driving 55 the rest of the time, and it's laughable that these little small countries are whipping on us. Now, look, to their credit, we have a great group of juniors coming up. To their credit, they've got some great people. I'm very impressed with what Stephen Armitage that they put in for the collegiate program. I'm very impressed that they're working so hard trying to get these kids through to the pros. They now make them compete for spots instead of just giving them wild cards. And there's more accountability than ever before. But it sounds to me, you're right, exactly right, Coach Blumenthal, that, you know, if we're constantly worried about litigation and constantly worried about little Johnny got upset and this hurt his something like this, we're dead. I mean, there's just no way to overcome that. Blumenthal?
No, I think that's right. I mean, we're seeing that. We talk about the NCAA. We talk about every big organization, and we're talking about the same things over and over again. And, you know, and you two are coming up with the best idea, and Bellamy and some of these other guys that are thinking outside the box. Well, how do you compete with that in our great country? You have to compete. I mean, we have to come up with our own tournaments and our own, you know, in our own organization that's going to help solve these problems, because I don't think when they get that large, it's going to happen any other way. I mean, that's what's happened for the last 20, 25 years, and it just keeps repeating itself, and then we keep coming up with these marketing tools that sound great, but they're not producing champions. And I think
they're not inspiring anyone.
They're definitely not inspiring. Currently, we've got more than good enough coaches, and I think our talent level is much better than people perceive it to be in this country. But if this continues 20 years from now, it's not going to be the same. Nobody will understand where the bar was ever at.
Right. They've been, they will have been dumbed down for so long, it'll be a dumbed down generation. Coach Weber, I'll give you another word here, and then I got to go on to college tennis and the Blumenthal college plan. Go ahead, Coach Weber, any thoughts?
Well, you guys are talking about making American tennis great. There's so many conferences going on right now, and John Embry's going to be speaking at it, and Kirk Camperman, and I'm looking all over these great, great speakers and talkers, and they've got Lake Nona. USTA's putting together Lake Nona. They're going to have 200 USTA employees there at Lake Nona. That's going to help us.
That's just all stuff. I know where you're going with this, Coach. It doesn't
USPTA's
matter without
got
the
all
blue
kinds of programs. But look, they were going to help us get better.
Nothing happens without the glue called inspiration. You know, it's not even perspiration. It's inspiration, you know, that, you know, and passion to do it, and the hunger of our young people. It doesn't matter. They go through all these programs, and it doesn't make a difference. Coach Blumenthal, talk real quick to everybody here about and I'll come back there if you can stay on the line there, Coach Weber. But Coach Blumenthal, talk very quickly about the why being important and what and how. Coach Weber just talked about what we're doing and how we're doing it. We're missing out on the why, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. Because I agree with him 100%. I've met so many just really, really good coaches in the USTA. And there are people out there that care and that have the knowledge to help. But, yeah, we're missing a universal why we're doing it. You know, what is the reason why? Where is the inspiration coming from? What's going to be our mantra to really carry us forward? I mean, we're kind of scattered. You know, we keep talking about champions and what we see. But if we could come together on this as a country, then all these pieces we could put together and it would make more sense, and they would start looking at things through different lenses.
Right. Nobody cares what you know unless they know that you care. But deeper than that, nobody's going to care about the sport unless they have their personal reason for being motivated. I've been preaching mastery of your skill set more than success in your skill set. That's really hard for a younger person to grasp because they're trying to earn a scholarship, earn a ranking, become popular, things through the sport. But again, on J.P. Weber's show, Tim Wilkerson was on some weeks back, and he said, look, I always played for rivalries and tournaments of heritage. I'll never forget that because he said if he lost to somebody, he would wait a year to try to win it back. And now we've dumbed down the scoring systems where the kids – don't even know if it's a credible win or a credible loss. I was talking the other day to one of the USTA people, and I said, when you use this 10-point tiebreaker or no-add scoring, what happens if the kids get a win? It's sort of like kissing your sister. It's really not a credible win. And if you lose, it doesn't really hurt enough to make you want to go out and not have it happen again. In other words, losing's got to be painful to where you say, I don't like this, I don't want this to happen again, and I'm going to work harder than the next fella. And you know, and we just got it so backwards now. And but anyhow, one quick thought. I'm just going to throw this out of a junior tennis. Folks, I really believe we need 18s and 14-year-old divisions. Let's get rid of 16s and the 12s. 18s and 14s, our kids jump through so many hoops. And think about that. Lower year, higher year in the 12s. Lower year, higher year in the 14s. Lower year, higher 16s and the 18s. And by the time they get to the 16s and 18s, they've been through the same hoops so many times, and it's sort of like they've been dumbed down. It's like taking the same fifth grade math class five times, and they're not hungry to learn calculus or differential equations. But that's my thought, and then I love your thoughts, Coach. I also believe that we need to only rank about 75 kids, have rankings for the top 50, 75 kids, then have ratings from 75 to about 400 ratings where the kids could work up their ladder of ratings instead of rankings. Because it's funny how we'll hear kids brag, Coach, about, hey, I moved up from 330 to 225. And a college coach will go, okay, I guess that's the moving on there. And the point is it other kids, yeah, that's a big deal. Kid jumps 100 and some spots, it's a big deal. But we need only to be able to rate the top kids. The cream of the crop needs to be ranked so that they fight each other for those rankings. Only the cream of the crop. Middle group needs to be rated, and then probably entry-level stuff. We need things like the GRIPS program. Folks, look at gripsprogram.com. Look at that those programs. Boy, that's the best one out there for your entry-level kids. Coach, with all that, we got to move on to college here because we're running out of time. Give us the Randy Blumendahl program of what college tennis season should look like to inspire our young people to want to get better at college tennis, because we're not doing the job right now. We've only got five, I think, in the top 100. We have five now. We used to only have three, but we had one for the longest time, only Isner, but it's become very, very neutered. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah. Well, to go further with that point, you know, I thought about this morning, something that, you know, we can restructure what we have, but we have to get back to the NCAA and then mandating certain rules with tennis that make no sense with tennis whatsoever. Tennis players do not have lower grades, did not have lower grades before they started putting a 20-hour week on there or limitations of matches.
That was a ruse. Coach, that was a ruse. The reason they put the 20-hour rule in was East Coast teams up there that were not being competitive. They were being outworked, and they had a 16-match schedule or 18-match schedule themselves. So they basically lowered the bar and crippled everybody else from outworking them. So now it's the same reason they put no ad in was for parity without skill set, parity without sweat. And that's exactly what they did. That's why
you agree
they put that rule in.
You agree that most players that come into college want to play as much as they can, and you would agree that their grades would not suffer, and they can chase after what they want to academically. I mean, that's what's going on in juniors. I mean, look how much they're playing in juniors, and they're still achieving on a very high level academically. So, you know, as a group, I think that, you know, maybe that makes sense in some sports. I don't know what sport that is, but I know it doesn't make sense.
Should I call it a ruse or an outright lie? Should I call it a lie too strong? Let's call it an untruth. Let's call it a ruse to take us, it's all about academics. Let's call it an outright non-truth. How's that? Let's call it that.
Sounds good. Ridiculous. Sounds good. The college tennis, what I think should happen is, for several reasons, one of them because of logistics with weather and stuff, our best weather is late summer, early fall for the majority of the country. I'm talking about rain and wind and you know, factoring in everything that, that matters at tennis. I think that we should have a short 10-week season in college tennis that people can follow, play the same format every week, Friday night matches, and Sunday afternoon matches. In the fall. Every week, same time. I think the big schools should actually piggyback the matches off the football games that are on Saturday. So if Clemson's playing South Carolina on Saturday, then Friday night match would be Clemson, South Carolina at the same place. So that would bring excitement. You would, if for whatever reason TV wants to be involved, they're there. They're already set up. So, but the excitement's there, the alumni's there, and you have a season that people could follow because it's not dragged out over 5-6 months. So 10 weeks, and then go into the postseason, have a championship in the fall, and also the weather is a lot better for everybody. At the end of the fall, I agree, but your championships would be in warmer weather places with, you know, less rain chance. So that would happen in the fall. The spring Grand Slam, they would play an indoor championship, a clay court championship, and then outdoor hard championship. Have a Grand Slam, have little spinoff tournaments to qualify in. There's several reasons for this, but I think it would inspire the players to want to go out, play in the summertime, play pro tournaments or whatever the next level is for them to get better. But it would springboard them into the summer. And every school could find their niche or chase after all those championships with their players. And, you know, tournament tennis, the players can grow at a faster rate. Plus, it would be tournament tennis with a purpose. So there would be a reason why they were going after it, whether it was to be all, there would be real All-Americans, there would be, you know, real rankings going on, where, you know, wouldn't be matched up head-to-head depending on who's going to play at what position. This would, you know, it'd actually be the same way that the kids are used to in juniors and in pro events.
Yeah,
so that would go on in the spring.
Coach, let me throw this in there. Most people don't know, but probably only 30% of your college teams are in a segregated schedule and play the events where they're allowed to even get rankings. It's really a pathetic system. And team tennis team tennis is a participation-driven event. There are some benefits, and people like it, but really, as you say, people improve through tournaments. Tournaments allow exponential growth. Team tennis only allows arithmetic growth. You know, so we got about 2 minutes. Any thoughts on that, and then we'll wind her up, Coach.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, different reasons why to play it the other way around, but it would be two different seasons, almost like two different sports. Athletic directors could, you know, the big thing out there is cost, which I think, you know, some schools that's not really a problem at all, and other schools it could possibly be, but you could manage it better from an athletic director standpoint as well. And I think kids would aspire to that. So, and it would give some of our kids, you know, the ability, you know, we, this is a whole nother topic, but we got to find ways where, especially on the boys' side, well, it's even so on the girls' side, we got to find ways where the American players can play college tennis and earn the scholarships that are out there, that are available. So I think improving is another way of doing that. But that's a whole nother show to talk about. But that is becoming less and less of the norm. And it's something that, again, is kind of stopping us from developing our next level player, our champions.
Well, there's a big wall at the end of the team season. players don't even play for a month or something, but it impedes the growth of the players, and it really does not springboard. Tournament tennis does. Also, listen, USTA, you bring back those 21 and under tournaments you used to play, or those national amateur tournaments. Those were great events. Those were great events. Yeah. We need something more than just participation events. Last word, Coach, and then we got to go. Last word, thank you for being on there, Coach. Coach Blumenthal. No,
thank you, and I thank Coach Weber for joining us. And, you know, I think there's a lot of us out there that would love to see tennis great again. Let's connect with our why. I think that's important. And we come together, we're all inspired to make this thing what we believe it can be. And I appreciate every day what you're trying to do and coming up with the hard topics that nobody wants to talk about.
Well, I think everybody does. We just got to remember what our duty as a tennis citizen is, and that's to stand up and to speak out and say those things we need to say. Don't rely too much on the central government, folks. It's not socialism, but we need central government to lead us, but we need to meet you guys halfway, don't we? Meet us halfway, and, you know, we need to inspire. Coach Blumenthal, definitely an inspiring talk.
Made in America. Never buy a tattooed on his slip song. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't prisoner. He's just made in America.
Process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or loss. Thanks, Coach Randy Blumenthal. And folks, it takes all of us. All of us. It's got to be bottom-up stuff here. Do not rely on others. Go to work. Create your own programs. Create your own tournaments. Inspire kids. God bless each and every one of you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.